Episode 73, 5 Ways a Biblical Worldview Can Bring Hope and Healing to a Broken World, Part 2.
Welcome to the Principles and Practice Podcast. This is where we discuss biblical principles for life and learning. I'm your host, Heather Hall, and this is my co-host,
Brian Hall.
It's great to have you all back with us, and if you're new to the show, welcome. In this episode, we're discussing the second out of 5 ways a biblical worldview can bring hope and healing to a broken world. If you caught episode 68, you'll remember that we discussed how a biblical worldview regarding politics, meaning government, is a blessing when we choose to operate in the biblical principles of government regarding the individual, family, church, and civil sphere. This episode is about economics, which has to do with God's principle of Christian self-government. By the end of this episode, you'll have a better understanding of why a biblical worldview of economics is important, and maybe you'll feel challenged by some thoughts we share. So economics has to do with finances, and that has to do with provision. So I'm going to start by defining the word providence. And then we'll discuss some observations from the Webster's 1828 dictionary definition.
So from the Webster's 1828 dictionary, providence definition number 1 is the act of providing or preparing for future use or application. Number 2 is foresight, timely care, particularly active foresight or foresight accompanied with the procurement of what is necessary for future use or with suitable preparation. Definition number 3. In theology, the care and superintendence which God exercises over his creatures. He that acknowledges a creation and denies a providence involves himself in palpable contradiction, for the same power which causes a thing to exist is necessary to continue its existence. Mm. And number 4 is prudence in the management of one's concerns or in private economy.
Well, his definitions are always packed with so much.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that stood out to me was in the first entry where it says the act of providing or preparing for future use or application. And I think that a lot of times our minds automatically go toward ourselves producing and preparing for something, like there's an emergency that could come up, or we're going to go take a day trip, or, you know, we need to go grocery shopping. But in the bigger picture of things, if we acknowledge God's sovereignty, then we have to acknowledge his providence and that he prepares and provides for individuals and events.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at his second entry where he says foresight, timely care, particularly active foresight, accompanied with the procurement of what is necessary for future use or with suitable preparation. When times get hard for people, sometimes people can want to go outside of God's design for help. And ideally, we would want to stay within the absolute truth of Scripture, which teaches us about how God provides for the individual, and the individual is to help take care of other people, and also how the church as a body is supposed to help take care of other people. Well, I know that there are issues with that, especially in an economy like what we're in today, because taxes are high and you have inflation going on. And so that makes it all the harder for the individual to be able to help other people more freely because everything's so tight for a lot of people. And so the challenge then is looking to God and trusting him for the timing for what those needs are, and the ability to help other people with their needs when they're in genuine need, versus going outside of God's boundaries and going to the state for you know, aid, financial aid, because the money is not really being used, right? It's just sitting there waiting for people to come and get it. So why not go and get it? It would make it so much easier. You know, the state cares so much for you, is what a lot of people think. But really, there's always some sort of control tied to the tax dollars if you go to get aid. And in addition to that, the state misappropriates funds in a lot of ways. And so there isn't good stewardship with the state. So The idea is that Christians handle their money wisely, they're good stewards, and that they are there to be able to help each other and their own families.
And just goes with the, you know, economy goes from the ground up, where it starts with the individual, starts with the family, goes to the local church, and then civil government as necessary.
So taxes are meant to be used within the confines of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. They're not meant for socialist programs in America. So historically, America didn't have the socialist programs. And the more socialist programs are used, then the more taxes go into them, which makes things even more difficult for an individual's personal economy to be able to take care of their family and then to be able to help other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you even saw that from the beginning of America when the Pilgrims landed and they were trying that form of government where you had, you know, distribution of wealth, and where the, when that was happening, the economy of the individuals and the families was not good.
Right, and God designed work for people, and there's, you know, human energy and natural resources, and when you take your human energy and are creative with the natural resources that God has given to solve problems for people, to help them out, then there's the free market economy.
Mm-hmm. That private ownership.
The private ownership. And so that's what we need to get back to as a country. And that just begins with each individual not perpetuating the cycle of socialism by participating in it. Mm-hmm. And then in his third entry, he talks about in theology, the care and superintendence which God exercises over his creatures. Now, this can be a big challenge for people, I think, because it requires coming under the lordship of Christ, even in the area of economics. And that means that you're going to have to trust him with the timing of things. And just because we think something is good for us or it's something that we need, when it's more than likely really a want versus a need, then it can be really challenging to trust him for the timing. But he knows what's best for us, and we need to learn to accept that as we come under his lordship. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth entry, after dealing with all of that on an individual level, the fourth entry then addresses prudence in the management of one's concerns or in private economy. Within all of these definitions given by Webster, nothing is said at all about civil government.
Nope, not at all. And it's always about, you know, providing future use and God's principles.
Mm-hmm. There are dichotomies there where you trust God for provision and timing and care, but you're also to use your faculties, mm-hmm, and your skills and your talents and, again, the natural resources that are there and your creativity to help problem solve. Mm-hmm. But notice the word management is in there. Prudence in the management of one's concerns or in private economy. So you have to daily be active in the management of your resources. Now, economy is a key word within that definition that Webster gives for providence. So we were looking that up. We're going to compare Webster's 1828 definition with that of Oxford Dictionary's definition online.
I'm going to cover a couple of the definitions of economy from the Webster's 1828. Number one is primarily the management, regulation, and government of a family or the concerns of a household. And definition number eight is judicious and frugal management of public affairs as political economy.
Frugal management of public affairs?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Frugal, huh? All right, well, and also the word economy is from the Greek, and it means house and law or rule. So that ties in with, obviously, the word management there, because you're going to have within your house laws or rules about how those personal finances are to be managed. And ideally, people will be on the same page as that and staying within those boundaries so that the home can thrive. And then in any case, whether it's personal home economy or it's public affairs, frugality is really key and important. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Oxford Dictionary Online defines economy as the wealth and resources of a country or region, especially in terms of the production and consumption of goods and services. So there's no mention about personal economics at all, and the responsibility of the individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I looked up Britannica Dictionary also, and its definition is similar. It says the process or system by which goods and services are produced, sold, and bought in a country. It's just all like mechanical for people, and that's it. So it totally skips individual, family.
Yeah, it has to do more with businesses.
Yep.
So I don't know. I don't even know if they cover home economics in school anymore. I know it seems like there are a lot of students that graduate not knowing how to manage their finances or mm-hmm. a home or how to even cook from scratch.
When I went to school, they had some economics, but it wasn't...
They didn't have a home economics?
They probably did, but I didn't take that class.
Oh, okay. That's optional? You yeah. would think that that would be yeah. mandatory for people to take.
Yeah, I don't think that was... It was yeah, it was just like an elective in high school, I think it was.
So. How interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, being homeschooled, that was something that we learned alongside our parents, was how to cook and bake and manage the home. So a lot of life skills are happily involved with homeschooling. So I was reading in Gary North's book, The Biblical Structure of History, and since there's a biblical history and a universal history of economics, I think that something he shares in Chapter 8 is relevant for this discussion. The quote he gives has to do with relativism, and a lot of people have a relativist view of economics. Here's the quote. Relativism, the modern corollary to skepticism, is the belief that truth is relative to the position of the person making a statement. It has generated a pervasive lack of confidence in the ability to find truth or even to establish that there is such a thing as truth. Relativism leads directly to a questioning of the ideal of objectivity because it undermines the belief that people can get outside of themselves in order to get at the truth. If the truth depends on the observer's standpoint, how can there be any transcendent, universal, or absolute truth, or at least truths that hold for all groups for many generations? That quote is from the book Telling the Truth About History by Appleby, Lynn, Hunt, and Jacob. That's a book on my wish list now, just so you know.
Okay.
One of the statements from that quote that I want to highlight is that as people try to search for truth from within themselves, they're attempting to observe truth. So they're really questioning the ideal objectivity, which is the absolute truth about economics, to come up with their own truth about it. Which I think is easy to do. If a person is in what they feel is dire straits and they feel like there's no recourse, they don't have family to help them, or they're not connected to a church group or friends, or maybe pride gets in the way, or who knows what. They feel like they need to go ahead and go to the government for aid on something. Or perhaps they just don't even know. They're ignorant of God's truths about economics, mm-hmm. the roles that he's delegated. But then they're coming up with their own truth. They're saying, well, it's okay to go ahead and do this over here because I want or need this over here, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter that it's being passed on to my neighbor to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is that the Bible has things to say about economics, principles to follow, and I think this is important for us to embrace because Isaiah 55:8-9 teaches us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God understands the state of the world in its fallen nature, and in his loving kindness, he gives us principles that will help us operate in truth, even if it doesn't make sense to us. So what are some absolute truths from God's word about economics that you have to share with us?
So well, one of those would be God owns everything.
Mm-hmm.
He has... a lot of references in the Bible about how he owns everything. One of them is Psalms 50:10-12. It says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine."
So there's a right to private property right there.
Mm-hmm.
God has the right to what he has created. Mm-hmm. And we're made in his image. And so that principle carries over for us in that we have a right to our private property,
mm-hmm.
what we work for, what we create,
mm-hmm.
with a comprehension that we are being stewards over what he has given us.
Yep. So, so he gives us that, ownership to people. So when we create something, we have ownership over that private property.
But also our gifts and our talents and the faculties he's given us and mm-hmm. time, managing all that while being a good steward of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here.
What's another one that you have for us?
Labor and rest, and that God has designed us to, work hard for 6 days and, and take time to rest. And that rest is for physical rest, and it's for, time we can focus on in the Lord.
Yeah, like our spiritual rest in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And that, and he has that modeled for us and since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So labor is meant to be difficult, but there's also rest involved as well because, God knows us. He made us, and he knows we need rest, both spiritually and physically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was reading about John Wesley and how he worked from, 4 a.m. to 10 p.m. every night. One of the things I read that at age 83, he was upset to discover that he could not write more than 15 hours a day without hurting his eyes.
Wow.
And then at 86, he was ashamed to admit that he could not preach more than 2 sermons a day and that he would sleep until 5.
Well, no, it sounds to me like he did a lot more than a lot of people at that age. So that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Good role model.
Yeah. And there's a lot of hard work involved and he did rest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So another thing I want to bring up is that we're to worship God through economics.
How does that look? What do you mean?
I guess that comes down to, as you are working, you are giving back to God. Because we talked about earlier about giving back to help support other people, support the church,
mm-hmm.
and to help people in need. And if your personal economy is not good, you're not able to do that. And if your personal economy is good, you're able to contribute and help out and not give that over to the government as it's been done throughout the years.
And in giving back, as it was worded, it's showing trust in God to care and provide, and you don't have to try to be a miser and hold on to every single thing, or
mm-hmm.
also that you're placing him first because you're not going off and spending everything and ignoring the instruction to give,
mm-hmm.
and to give freely and joyfully.
Yeah, and you're setting God before yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's more to the biblical worldview of economics than what we've discussed here. What's your current worldview of economics? You can get your worldview checkup by going to worldviewcheckup.org. It's an online test with 100% private and immediate results. Use our ambassador code AMB103 to save 15% off your purchase and support our ministry at the same time. As ambassadors, we receive a small commission from your purchase.
We appreciate your support, and I hope you were blessed by this conversation, and we'll talk to you soon. As always, if you're looking for additional resources or support, you can visit our website at principalacademy.com, check out our shop and our blog, and you can also find us on Facebook at Christian Homeschooling with Bible Principles, also on Instagram under Principal Academy. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Well, this is Heather Hall.
And this is Brian Hall.
For Christ and His glory.